Hello, welcome to another talk on money, business, and investing. My name is Jose. I'm the founder of the company and bring here a master investor. Welcome if you're an existing subscriber, and welcome if you're new to our channel. Make sure to check out all the links on the description so that you have access to all of our tools. Today we're going to be speaking about how to invest in gold and silver. This is the commodities asset class that we're going to be speaking about today. And yesterday we talked about using put options to invest in stocks for cash flow. So if you missed that live stream or podcast, make sure you go back and check it out, because if you like to start with paper assets, then you need to focus on building passive income, not just capital gains income. And today we need financial education in order to be able to do that. Our mission here at Master Investors is to elevate the financial well-being of humanity through high-quality financial education made simple. We're looking for opportunities to build passive income and true wealth. Today's title is How to Invest in Gold and Silver, Shift Money into Real Assets Since the Dollar is Worthless. Summary: the wealthy rely on actual money rather than dollars. An understanding of financial history is necessary to distinguish between paper money and genuinely valuable assets. This article discusses the reasons why saving money is a losing endeavor and strategy. Gold and silver are assets that belong to the asset class of commodities. The dollar became counterfeit money the moment Richard Nixon removed it from the gold standard earlier in 1971. The dollar was no longer supported by sound money or gold. The US dollar was reduced to a large note. Take a look at the following chart to gain more insight into the inverse relationship between the US dollar and gold. As you can see on screen right now, we're also doing a live stream as we're doing this podcast. So if you haven't got on to our YouTube channel, make sure you go to it and subscribe, because we are sharing our screen and we have a lot more content on YouTube so that you can have access to additional financial education. But the diagram that we have in front of us, we can see how the dollar has lost its value, specifically has dropped tremendously after the change on the law when the gold standard was separated from the US dollar. From that point forward, money became debt, okay, monopoly money, fiat money, paper money, trash basically, right? And money's created with debt. That's why today debt is tax-free, any type of debt. That's why the ultra wealthy, we love to use debt, because it's a way to become wealthy fast. We're using leverage, we're using OPM, other people's money, we're using the bank's money, that's OPM, right? It could be friends' money, family, it could be anything that comes from the outside. But we're talking about banks, private lending, although, believe it or not, family will begin to want to invest or give you their money, right? Because maybe they'll see you having success and whatnot. So that's just gonna happen regardless. But the important point that I want to make is that as a wealthy entrepreneur, the job number one is to raise capital. And the skill number one is to sell without selling, using systems and smart marketing. And the job number one of an inside investor, or master investor, or capitalist, right? Because the highest level of investor is a capitalist. And basically an inside investor is someone that runs the company. It's not someone that's giving the money away to anybody to invest it for us. We actually have a company for a profit, and we are trading something with the world. We're giving a solution to the world. We're solving a problem. Every company or every investment is built to solve a problem. It has a business in that investment. We cannot talk about investing without business, because investing is business. The more we know about business, the higher our financial IQ will be and the higher results we can get when it comes to investing. More returns, higher returns, more control, more leverage. So we need to be okay with raising capital and being in debt. I don't want us ever to think that it's okay to be debt-free. No, we need to be in as much debt as possible. Yes, because today money is created with debt. So if a person says they don't want to be in debt, then that means they don't want any money. Then be careful what we say, right? Because today money is created with debt. Now, in order to come out of bad debt, if that's what you're experiencing right now, is to focus on the asset column, just like we should all focus, regardless of what financial situation we're on. Whatever class you're on right now, whether you're in the poor class, middle class, or if you're the wealthy class, we still have to focus on the asset column. That should never stop. We should always be planting seeds on our assets column, because that's how we're going to thrive and create more freedom, more options, and we can always expand. Expenses, liabilities, there's nothing wrong with having any of these things that we like to have in life, right? That's what we're here to experience, whatever we imagine should be a great experience, as long as legal and ethical and it helps the world become a better place, then yes, we should be able to achieve that and experience that. But a lot of people never get to experience their dreams because they never mastered one of the most important elements of life, which is money. And today money, thankfully, is created with debt, meaning that it's easier to raise capital. It's easier to put our hands on money and turn that into real money. And that's what we're going to be talking today, because a lot of people have the strategy of saving money and they feel good about saving their check. And although that shows some sort of discipline to not buy something maybe and have instant gratification and then delay that gratification to later on in the future because maybe that person has other plans. So that shows some sort of discipline. But now we need to move that money into something that will either increase in value and will produce capital gains income or passive income. Specifically, we want to be looking for assets that create passive income, or also known as positive cash flow, not just capital gains income. Remember, capital gains income is when we buy something and then we sell it for a higher price. That profit right there is capital gains. And that usually can be, it's taxed at a higher bracket than passive income, but there are certain instances where we can defer taxes. For example, on real estate, through a 1031 exchange, we can defer taxes on capital gains income as long as we meet the requirements on that law, on the 1031 exchange. We have to follow them to the T. Whatever requisites they have there, we need to invest the money into a bigger asset in a certain amount of time in order for us to be able to defer taxes, okay? So it's always about using debt, because debt is tax-free. So the more debt we have, the less taxes we pay right from the beginning, we pay the less in taxes. So because debt cannot be taxed, okay? We must understand that and be okay with using debt. So a good habit to start building in order to start shifting our mindset and being okay with using debt is by utilizing your credit card. Every time you go out, use your credit card instead of your debit card. And of course, when you get home or at the end of the week, go ahead and make the payment for whatever you use, right, to the credit card as if it was your debit card. So you grab your debit card and then you pay whatever you use on that week, or actually 2 weeks before the due date of your bill statement, that's when you should make the payment. And when you do that, you clear the entire amount you were going to use your debit card before. So you're just killing two birds with one shot. We're improving our credit score, which ultimately gives us more money, more credit, more access to capital. We can turn that into passive income, because who says we cannot turn a credit card into a real business that creates passive income? We can do that all day long. I have done it many times and I continue to do it. So, and partners in our community do it all the time, because we understand the power of debt. We understand that in order to become wealthy, we have to utilize debt, be in debt, right? And it's good debt. Good debt means that it's being put into an asset that produces cash flow or capital gains income, and is paying for the debt service back on its own. We're not paying for it. The asset itself, the revenue from that asset, from that operation, is paying for the debt service and also is paying us. right? So the idea to be in good debt is important, okay? It's something that I want us to have all the time in our minds, because the dollar has lost its value. And as we can see, since that moment when it was separated, gold stopped being next to the dollar. In fact, they're very opposites, like the sun and the moon, right? It's like totally the opposite. Gold goes up, the dollar goes down. If the dollar goes up, then the gold is gonna come down. It's literally the very opposite, because the dollar is not backed up by gold anymore. As I said earlier, August 15, 1971, that's when President Nixon separated the gold standard from the US dollar. So on the chart that we're seeing here on screen, we can see that the yen, right, lost its value as well after that change. That everything follow after the dollar, because the dollar is the main currency of the world, basically. After that happened on 1974, we entered into an agreement with Saudi Arabia, which basically said that every country in the world who buys oil must change their currency into US dollar currency. And then when that happened, basically brought the dollar's confidence back as the number one currency in the world, but nonetheless, it's still a currency. And that's what we need to understand. Today, money is a currency, it's not longer real money. So the US dollar that you're saving in your bank account, just understand that that is not longer real money. You must transfer that into a real money situation, which is through sound investing, and we need financial education for that. So something that we need to do every day is invest in our financial education, whether it's through our podcast, videos on YouTube, reading articles, of course, subscribing to other communities out there, mentors, as many as possible that we can have. We have 24 hours and we need to also be producing during those 24 hours. We cannot just consume. We need to have a plan of activities that are producing for our assets column. Right, we need to start planting seeds on our assets column, whether it's through crypto or whichever asset class that we want to invest in at the beginning. Because the idea is that we diversify among the five different asset classes that exist. Number one, real estate. Number two, business. Number three, crypto. Number four, paper assets. Number five, commodities. The ones that we're talking about today, on gold and silver, those assets belong to the asset class of commodities. Over the past century, the dollar's purchase power in respect to gold has sharply declined. But gold and US dollar aren't the only assets that have the opposite relationship. The value of all currencies has decreased in comparison to gold, as seen in the accompanying graphic below. And you can see that if we compare the US dollar on the diagram here with the printing of the dollar, we can see that in 1948 began to rise on the printing a little more, and then 1971 it really shot up all the way up, and it continued to go up. Right now we're 34 plus trillion dollars in debt. What does that mean? If you look at this diagram right here where it shows the printing of the dollar, and this is why savers are losers, is because that hasn't changed. It has increased more and more. So people that are saving money are losing money, because as you can see, the dollar is losing value every day. So why would you save something that is losing value? That just makes no sense. We need to move that into real assets. And money park is zero, because it goes back to its intrinsic value. Okay, there's nothing backing money. So when we put money on our hands and we don't move it, then it goes back to zero. The only way money can maintain its value today is by going from one cash flow and asset to another cash flow and asset. So inflation is our best friend today, because that means that the more inflation we have, the easier it is to get money, because that means there's more money injected into the economy, and it's easier to get loans from banks due to the fact that the banks are in the business of lending money. And if they don't lend money, then they're not in business. So they need to create packages and they need to be able to lend their money so that they can acquire assets, because they have something that is called CAMA score. And it's basically their credit score. And it reflects their portfolio. The stronger their portfolio is when it comes to their assets, right, then the more money they can lend to other people, the wealthier they are. The Federal Reserve Banks allows them to print more money and lend that money to other people. So the bank's purpose of lending money is to acquire cash flow and assets. So we need to bring cash flow and assets to the bank. That's why one of the most important things is to put the deal together, because once we can call the broker and bring in the deal, right, that is already there, we're just going to put all the pieces together and we're going to bring that to a new candidate, which is a bank X, Y, and Z. And that bank looks at the deal. It's not looking at us so much. It's looking at who is going to manage the deal and so forth. But we're just going to be controlling that asset. And they're glad that we brought that asset to them and no other bank. Remember, they want to have good assets. So once they study and they read through the entire financial statements of that asset and they decide that they want to buy that asset, then they're going to lend us the money. And we're going to control that debt. We're going to control the cash flow. And even after we recoup our initial capital invested back, if we put any money down of our own capital, because we could have used a down payment. If we need to put a down payment, we could have used another a credit card that we have. So is it our money? Not really. It's other people's money. So you see, we can create money without money, without our own money. We can raise capital. Okay, so money is created from thin air. We can do the same that the government does. Exact same thing that they do, we can tap into that same strategy, which is print the money legally. And the way we can do that is by, number one, understanding that today money is no longer real money. Today money is paper money, it's fiat money, it's monopoly money. Money is our slave. We tell money what to do. We put money to work. And every time we have extra cash in our hands, we already have put a plan behind that cash. Okay, we treat it as an expense, not as an asset. Our proceeds that we're getting from our assets, we must treat them as an expense. In other words, it already has a plan to go to work for us to create more money, okay? Because remember, we're creating assets so that it pumps passive income and capital gains income into our income column so that we can pay for all of our liabilities, expenses. And it's not about cutting expenses. It's not about shrinking at all or cutting any liabilities, unless that liability is truly something that we should get rid of because it's not good at all. But there are some liabilities that are just fun and we like to have them in our lives. Maybe it's a luxury item that we like to have. And we can have it as long as we have an asset that is producing passive income and capital gains income to pay for that liability and its expense. And that's how we ultimately obtain everything for free, because we're not working hard to pay for the items that we have in our lives. Our assets, our businesses, our investments are working hard for us, doing the selling and telling, solving a problem in the world, providing a solution. And that's why we must begin to take action. It's not just about listening or learning or reading something and having that information bouncing around our heads. It's about putting a plan and bringing our ideas into fruition. And we can do that when we have the right mentors around us, we have the right support, and also the environment matters. But be resourcefulness. Whatever we are, we have to make sure that we narrow down to the things that we must use to better ourselves every day, have a plan, and figure out where do we want to be in 5 years from now, and 10 years from now, and 20 years from now. Reverse engineer the entire lifestyle, figure out the wealth number, how much is it going to take to pay for the lifestyle per month, and we're going to focus on the assets column 100%. We're going to plant seeds there every day. And we're going to start receiving passive income. We want to see that income. Remember, we're not giving our money away to anybody to invest it for us. We're going to do it ourselves. And that's what financial education does for us. It gives us that power. A cautionary story based on gold and silver mine investment experience. An investor established a silver mining firm in South America and a gold mining company in China in 1996. In the end, both businesses went public on Canadian exchanges. At the time, investor founded mining firms for gold and silver because investor thought the metals were at lows and would soon rise again. Silver was about $5 an ounce at that time, while gold was about $275 an ounce. Many who have lost their minds is they have been mistaken. But since investor wasn't placing a wager on gold or silver, the investor felt secure about that. Instead, the investor was placing bets against the oil and dollar. When oil prices were at $10 per barrel in 1996, that appeared modest. Many felt this stage was set for a significant shift in the markets because the investor had concerns that the dollar was strong and that it would weaken when oil prices increased. One could argue that those circumstances still exist now. The impact of the epidemic, the current national debt, and the trade balance are all contributions to the dollar's decline and the rise in oil prices. As a matter of fact, recently, the investor purchased additional gold and silver in order to hedge against the currency and oil once more. The investor has been rather accurate thus far. In 1996, the price of a barrel of oil was $22, but today it is about $82. In 1996, the price of 1 ounce of silver was $5. Today it is approximately $23. In 1996, the price of 1 ounce of gold was $387. Today it is over $1,830. Meanwhile, inflation has caused the dollar's purchasing power to decline by almost 95% since 1996. A recession or inflation? The situation is significantly worse now than it was in 1996 in many aspects. The dollar is becoming less and less in demand these days. It seems that the Federal Reserve is expanding the currency supply concurrently. As we are aware, when there is a decrease in supply and demand, the value of everything, including the dollar, falls. When the Great Recession hit, Ben Bernanke, the newly appointed Fed chairman, was faced with a difficult decision. If he increased money printing to support the dollar, inflation would rise and the currency might plummet. The economy might enter a recession if he increased interest rates in an attempt to curb inflation. The Federal Reserve has been stuck in a pickle for decades. Do I choose one kind of recession or another? Listen to the explanation that follows. American-style depression. Government attempts to falsify the gold standard led to the Great Depression. During World War I, large debts were incurred. Governments found it difficult to settle those obligations because the value of their currencies was based on gold. Due to gold, money could only be printed to a certain extent. We could only print $3 million if we possessed 1 million ounces of gold and could only print $3 for each ounce. Nevertheless, governments made every effort to circumvent the gold standard. Millions of people lost their lives savings as banks failed, as debt grew and default rates increased. We would lose everything if a bank failed since there was no FDIC. People started to lose money, therefore they stopped spending, which led to a collapse in prices. Rapid increases in unemployment led to even lower consumption and worse deflation, leading to the biggest economic disaster in U.S. history was a catastrophic spiral. The U.S. was unable to print its way out of the crisis since they were dependent on the gold standard. Depression in the German style. It was not like that in Germany. Rejecting the gold standard the German government chose to start printing money as fast as the presses would allow. There was severe hyperinflation as a result. Germany's monetary supply multiplied by 17 billion from 29.2 billion marks to 497 quadrillion marks between 1919 and 1923. An ancient tale tells us about a woman who went into a store to buy a loaf of bread and left her wheelbarrow full of German markings outside. Her wheelbarrow was taken when she returned, but the cash was not. That is how hyperinflation caused devastation. The amount of money that is printed so rapidly makes it almost worthless. As everyone is aware, the Fed decided to print trillions upon trillions of dollars. It appears that we have made our decision and are laying the foundation for a future depression like German depression, when nobody can say for sure, so it is best to get ready now and prepare for any type of economy. The rationale behind saving money. The value of the dollar decreases daily. That is the reason we ought to save them, as this can seem contradictory. Let's recap. Okay, I don't want us to get confused, because of course we shouldn't be saving money, right? Because we're paying taxes, but this is the other take on this. Even though money is becoming less and less valuable, we should still keep it because we don't need to hold on to it. Money is garbage. The have-nots value money. They earn it, save it, hold on to it, and lose it. This is one of the reasons why there's such a large disparity between the haves and the have-nots in the world. A common statement attributed to Warren Buffett is the best way to get rich is to not lose money. People lose money when they save US dollars, buy consumer goods like a new car, or use loans to finance commodities that lose value, liabilities. While some refer to it as inflation, we refer to it as devaluation. Psychologically, Americans worry more about money the more their cash and the items they purchase with it loses value. That's why we should never put our money into something that is going to rust, right, or lose value the next day or right after. Although we may want to have a liability, and if we do want to have a liability, we focus on building an asset that will pay for the liability, and that is okay. We can have anything, okay? So we can have a liability as long as we have an asset that will pay for that. And if you already have a liability, then you just focus on the asset so that you can pay for the liability. So it takes the responsibility from your shoulders. Now the business is going to pay for that. Many start working longer hours, or worse, incur more debt, bad debt, as a result of buying more sliding value consumer goods. Sadly, a lot of people end themselves with diminishing amounts of money that keep losing value, and ultimately their lifestyle begins to also lose value in their lives. They begin to cut in expenses, they begin to shrink. That's why it's very dangerous to become that type of mindset and go that route when it comes to money. We need to actually learn how to put money to work, how to keep our money and maintain it from one asset to another asset. Okay, and it's about not just giving our money away to anybody, right? So easily, to give our time away to anybody so easily neither. We need to focus on ourselves and doing self-development, reading every day, doing something that is improving our communication skills, and anything that has to do with an extraordinary life. Health, wealth, love, and happiness. Those are the four pillars of an extraordinary life. And that's what we want to focus on here in our community, because we don't just want to be optimizing for one single thing and not have the good life. And the good life comes with good health. And health is something that we can't really buy from the internet. It's something that we need to work on internally, and we need to control our water, right? Our diet. What are we eating? What are we putting into our system every day? It's important because it's going to help us build more wealth when we have a healthy body. It's just fact. On the other side, the reason individuals like inside investors or capitalists amass an increased amount of money simply because to our lack of hoarding. Rather, our goal is to acquire the maximum amount of money, right? And as I said earlier, treat it as an expense. So any extra cash that we have is already an expense because it already has a plan to go work inside of an investment, to acquire in the business, to acquire an investment, and allocate towards assets that are increasing in value and producing passive income or capital gains income too, rather than decreasing. During the computer and dot-com stock boom of the late 1990s, many wise investors invested their monies in real estate, gold, silver, oil, and oil at cheap prices. We should all keep our money working among the five asset classes that exist now, albeit much more cautiously as the value of the dollar declines. Financial catastrophe on the horizon. Our bearishness towards the US currency is the main factor driving the movement of dollars. The expression the US dollar is backed by the full faith and confidence of the US government is one that we have all heard. It is regrettable that people trust and faith in the United States government are declining. The necessary reforms to run a fiscally prudent government and preserve the dollar are unpopular among Americans. More Americans oppose President George W. Bush's attempt to change Social Security than they did the Iraq War. People adore their privilege. The U.S. dollar was shot to pieces as Bush pushed through the prescription drug benefit plan. There was no longer any chance of a financial catastrophe. It is time to place our faith in gold and silver, the antiquated form of money, rather than relying on the full faith and confidence of the US government. It is odd, yet some individuals don't believe that gold and silver are valuable assets, or at least not valuable enough to save. And that's the type of money we should save, real assets. So, the trash that we have, the US dollar cash that you have in your hands, we gotta move that into real assets, real money, which would be gold, instead of keeping it in the bank account with US dollars. Gold versus the US dollar. A couple of years ago, R.A. wrote in The Economist as to why he believed that gold was not money. But even though gold isn't money, It does have one very important thing in common with money. The market determines how much value it has, aside from a specific industrial uses. It is also the case with fiat money. Because humans have decided that dollars are valuable, they do. However, as the author of The Economist notes, money may be created freely and greedily, rapidly losing value. Conversely, gold possesses and inherit a scarcity. But fiat money functions just like that. People only think that the small bits of paper we call dollar bills are worth a basket of actual commodities because they share this belief with everyone else. The primary distinction in how value is perceived is that while fresh banknotes may be generated by the truckload at almost no marginal cost, new gold can only be gotten very difficult because most people still believe that paper money is money. Gold isn't considered money in the traditional sense of the word today. The author comes to the conclusion that because humans have chosen to be happy with money, dollars will always be money. And with references to gold, what I don't understand is the argument for gold that relies on the mysterious 6,000 years old law of economics, which states that shiny yellow metal is somehow special, the author writes. Existing on a borrowed time, consider this riddle. What happens when people decide they no longer wish to accept paper dollars as money, even if the writer seems to think it is impossible? What occurs in the Federal Reserve creates, if the Federal Reserve creates so many dollars, since the process is so straightforward and the number that may be generated is limitless, that people decide not to accept them as a currency. What would money be then? All fiat currencies, currencies that have value purely because of a claim made by an authority, have decreased to zero throughout the history of money. Conveniently, the author of The Economist overlooks mentioning this information. Furthermore, societies have consistently used gold as money through history. As the author of The Economist knows, this has continued for six millennia. If the author so chooses, this could be described as mystical, but that is one impressive track record. In actuality, the dollar is dependent on gold for its existence, meaning that it is living on borrowed time. The dollar is worthless. There's no denying that American debt is substantial. It was a respectable portion of our GDP for a long time, making up between 50 and 60% of it. However, since 2007, it has increased significantly. As of April 2020, our debt is 97% of GDP, but it is predicted to rise to 119% of GDP by 2023. Yes, it is expected of us to owe more than we earn. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that we will eventually collapse if we keep accruing more debt than we make. The dollar will be destroyed and savers will suffer losses if the United States defaults on its debt. Many people will regret not saving more of the so-called gold if the U.S. defaults on its debt, because people will look to it once more as the repository of worth, just as they have done numerous times over the past 6,000 years. However, maybe the U.S. will resolve its debt issues. In such case, the dollar will endure at least temporarily. But the dollar will finally come to nothing, just like all previous fiat currencies did. In either case, the dollar is useless if it's not put into action in a sound asset. It might happen later instead of sooner. The issue with the U.S. debt is that entitlements are a major factor in it. The cost of mandated programs like Social Security and Medicare accounts for more than 60% of our debt. As the baby boomer population ages, funding for these programs will only increase. This diagram here on our screen, which is based on Visual Capitalist, illustrates it. We have on the left side category health programs. Amount of US billions is 1.1 billion, 25%. Over total federal spending, and then we have Social Security at 1 billion, 23%. Income Security, 300 billion. That's 6%. Federal civilian and military retirement, 164 billion, 3.7% total federal spending, and then we have other 109 million, 2.5%. Total mandatory spending, 2,735 billion, and the percent is 62.2%. Figures may not add to 100 due to rounding sources, okay. It is feared that international public option would quickly grow wary of America's egregious economic mismanagement and become reluctant to use U.S. currency. Interest rates need to go up in order to maintain global interest in the U.S. dollar. U.S. assets will lose value when that occurs, particularly paper assets like stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and savings, because replacement costs are high. Some real estate prices will rise, while overpriced real estate will decline. To put it mildly and avoid coming off as hypocrite, politician, paper assets in real estate will continue to appreciate in value. Being extremely cautious and discriminating is the key to surviving in real estate and paper assets. Diversification will make people lose if they don't understand how to do it properly among the five different asset classes. In other words, when we talk about choosing not only the right advice from the right mentors, right, and staying updated with everything that is going on in the world and what has happened with the US dollar, with the national debt, and all of it that we're talking about, is going to give us a better insight in what we need to do next and how to prepare and how to move our money correctly. And since there are five different asset classes that exist, number one, real estate, number two, business, number three, crypto, number four, paper assets, number five, commodities, right? And we need to invest among those five asset classes, because when one market crashes, then we have other assets in different asset classes making us positive cash flow and capital gains income, right? So that's why we shouldn't always just focus on putting all of our eggs in one basket, one asset class. We need to diversify among the five different asset classes that exist. Those that concentrate will succeed in investing in different asset classes and, of course, growing our bottom line, our passive income. Invest in commodities to protect ourselves from future borrowing. Keeping our wealth in real money instead of US dollars is the key to surviving the next few years. Invest in items that are globally exchangeable and have intrinsic value. The global market for commodities like gold and silver transcends country boundaries, politics, religions, and racial distinctions. Even if a person disagrees with the religion of another, he or she would nonetheless take his or her gold. It is crucial to keep in mind that during depressions, wealth is merely moved rather than disappearing. In the upcoming years, a lot of individuals will become immobilized by terror. However, this will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the financial savvy. For individuals without sound financial advice, we should think about investing as much as we can in gold or silver to guard against inflation. Keep an eye out for offers if our financial intelligence is good. Be prepared to seize assets as their prices plummet. The largest wealth transfer in modern history is about to occur. We can choose to lose everything or to be the one getting it. Those with and those without financial intelligence will be the dividing line. Our bullishness on gold and silver is partially due to the fact that the American people is still largely unaware of this asset class. The majority of Americans are unaware of where or how to purchase actual gold and silver. The stores that offer gold and silver are rarely running low on stock. The panic in stampede will start if and when the American people realize that their dollars are just a kind of currency and not actual money. In such case, the prices of gold and silver today will appear to be quite low. Very few people know that today that one of America's largest actual silver stockpiles is purportedly owned by Warren Buffett. When silver was cheap in late 1990s, he bought it, even as soon as some people were criticizing him for not investing it in tech stocks. What's the meaning of it all? What thereafter will transpire? The truth is that nobody is sure. One thing is certain though, the dollar is having problems. The wealthy are aware that savers lose money, therefore we are always searching for assets to shift our funds into. We have to think like the wealthy in order to be wealthy. Buying gold and silver is not required. Make sure we weigh the risk, complete our homework, and decide it is the appropriate thing to be for proceeding. Don't forget to start searching for locations to transfer our funds. If our goal is to become wealthy, we should make investments in assets that can be hedged against inflation. whether they be in the form of real estate, businesses, paper assets, crypto, or commodities. What do we think now? What do we supposed to do in this situation with gold is, right? Well, what are we gonna do next? Which assets are we attempting to fund with our money? And which assets are we going to acquire using OPM, other people's money? And it might take also some of our money and we can combine it, right? 80%, 90% from the bank, and then we put 10% down or 20% down. And like I mentioned earlier, maybe that will be put down with a credit card. So we can put 100% finance on a deal. And that is actually the smartest thing to do. Once we can do that, then we really don't need money to make money. What we need is financial education, put the deal together, we can raise capital because money finds us due to the fact that the deal that we have is attractive. And so money is always looking for attractive deals. So what do we suppose the situation with gold is? That's a question that I want us to answer and to start thinking, what are we going to do? Do you have money saved in the bank? What are you going to do next? What's going to be your first asset that you will be acquiring to build the asset column? I hope that you enjoyed today's talk. Let me know if you have any questions. Make sure that you check out all the links in the description. Subscribe to all of our channels and all the social media platforms available so that you can have access to our content, stay updated with the good and bad news of money, the business principles that work in all economies. I appreciate you being here with me today. I'll talk to you on the next podcast. If you have a question, please reach out. Let me know if you have any feedback. I appreciate it. Stay extraordinary and wealthy. Thank you for now.